listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
In a world where one-size-fits-all medications dominate the pharmaceutical industry, precision medicine brings a ray of hope for those seeking customized healthcare. Pharmacists have a unique opportunity to help people in need of specialized testing to ensure medications work as intended. Welcome to Precision Health in PGX, where we unravel the wonders of precision medicine and its potential to revolutionize the way we approach pharmacy care. Get ready to uncover the secrets behind pharmacogenomics and how it's transforming lives, one genome at a time.
I am your host, Dr. Becky Winslow, and you're listening to the Precision Health and PGX podcast. In case you didn't know, my co-host, Dr. Banaz Sarami, and I decided to rebrand the PGX for Pharmacists podcast to the Precision Health and PGX podcast. Our goal in rebranding was to broaden our listenership outside of pharmacy and broaden our content to include non-pharmacogenomics-based precision health topics. No different than we did on the PGX for Pharmacists podcast, we will continue to explore all things pharmacogenomics related, and our mission still includes educating and advocating for PGX. We will continue to accomplish this mission through exclusive interviews with highly qualified and well-experienced industry leaders that you've become accustomed to hearing from. In this episode, we have two special guests, Dr. Mary Wiseman and Ms. Lexi Wenzel. Dr. Wiseman is a member of my Ingenious Rx team and a PGX mentor for Manchester University School of Pharmacy students. Ms. Wenzel is one of those students who is pursuing both her PharmD and her Master's of Pharmacogenomics. Together, we will discuss Medicaid coverage of pharmacogenomics tests and Medicaid's reimbursement of a pharmacist's time in the provision of PGX testing for Medicaid beneficiaries. So Mary, thank you so much for joining me today. We've worked together for nearly 5 years now, but it seems like only yesterday that as a fellow, you were helping a company interview me for a medical affairs role with that company. So we've come a long way since then. Could you elaborate for our audience on your education and work experience specific to PGX so they will recognize your expertise?
Definitely. Thank you, Becky. So yes, after earning my PharmD, I completed a 2-year PGX postdoctoral fellowship with 2 longitudinal experiences, one in a clinical diagnostic laboratory and the other one in a specialty pharmacy. During the fellowship, I taught patients, providers, and advanced pharmacy practice experiences, or HAPI students, to know how to use PGX testing to manage medication therapy and build a PGX knowledge database. Now I work for clinical diagnostic labs where I create and deliver medical content and training on pharmacogenomics. I educate patients and providers on how PGX can improve medication outcomes and advise them on PGX reimbursement and coverage issues.
Thanks for introducing yourself, Mary. Now let me introduce Ms. Lexi Wenzel. As I mentioned earlier, she's a dual degree doctorate in pharmacy and master's in pharmacogenomics student at Manchester University School of Pharmacy. Lexi's been working with Mary and me for 6 weeks now at Ingenious Rx, where she's been completing her elective API rotation. So welcome, Lexi, and thank you for joining us today. You've done some interesting research on Medicaid coverage of PGX that I'm sure our listeners will find useful. I know they'll find it useful because these are some of the most common questions that Mary and I field about pharmacogenomics is Medicaid coverage and the pharmacist role. So Before you elaborate on your research, can you tell us more about your education and work experience thus far and how you intend to use your master's in PGX in your career?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So I knew I wanted to go to school to become a pharmacist. So I started doing my research on schools, and I found that Manchester University offered a dual degree program to get both my PharmD and master's in PGX at the same time. I really enjoyed learning about genetics in my undergrad experience, and I thought it was a very interesting field that seemed like the next big advancement in healthcare. So throughout graduate school now, I have been working as a pharmacy intern in more traditional roles with involvement in retail and hospital pharmacy. I would love to implement my master's in PGX in the future in an ambulatory setting. As PGX becomes more accessible and hopefully coverage policies improve over time, I would love to operate in a clinic that can order PGX testing for patients and adjust their medication therapy.
So thanks, Lexi, for telling us about yourself. Based on your future aspirations for pharmacogenomics in an ambulatory care clinic, your research should serve you well in that position. Like I mentioned earlier, your research has been centered around Medicaid coverage of pharmacogenomics tests and what a pharmacist Medicaid reimbursed roles can be when providing and billing for PGX related services. And this is a very heavy topic. There's a lot to unpack here. You spent a lot of time focusing on the different aspects of these questions. So could you start by defining pharmacogenomics, Medicaid, and managed care organizations for our audience listeners who may not be familiar with these terms?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with pharmacogenomics and why it's important. So pharmacogenomics is the study of how an individual's genetics can influence their response to medications. It examines how different genetic variations can impact the metabolism of medications, which can directly be related to the likelihood of experiencing adverse events, the safety, and the efficacy of medications. This can provide clinical utility by optimizing medication selection based on safety and efficacy, and therefore enhancing clinical decision making. The next important piece is Medicaid. So Medicaid is a joint federal and state program that provides health coverage to millions of individuals. The federal government has its own general rules that all state Medicaid programs must follow. However, each state runs its own program as well. So that means the eligibility requirements and benefits can often vary from state to state. Lastly, I'll briefly define what managed care organizations are, or MCOs for short. MCOs are entities that manage and coordinate healthcare services for Medicaid beneficiaries. They work with the state Medicaid program to administer benefits to the Medicaid recipients. Medicaid beneficiaries will typically enroll in a specific MCO, which then becomes responsible for coordinating their healthcare services. Some examples of some well-known MCOs could include Anthem, Blue Cross Blue Shield, United Healthcare, Humana, etc. An important thing to note is that although all MCOs fall under Medicaid, they all have their own individual coverage policies that can vary from MCO to MCO. We'll be able to discuss that a little bit more in depth later in our discussion.
Thank you, Lexi, for defining these terms for us. Please briefly discuss the process of navigating MCO websites to locate, read, and comprehend MCOs, pharmacogenomics coverage, and reimbursement policies, as that can be tedious and daunting for someone not experienced in doing so.
Of course. So navigating different insurance websites for coverage policies and detailed information can be very time-consuming and frustrating at times for patients and providers. While searching for coverage policies related to pharmacogenomics services, I found that the best approach was to start with the search tool that's typically available on an MCO's website. I would use keywords such as pharmacogenomics or pharmacogenetics to search for specific policies. But unfortunately, that did not always take me directly to their coverage policy. Another quick approach may be typing into your search engine, for example, does United Healthcare cover pharmacogenomics in Ohio? And then typically that will pull up some of the coverage policies related to PGX within that MCO. Lastly, I recommend MCO policy readers take advantage of the Control F function while positioned on the MCO's PGX policy to search for keywords such as CYP2D6 or specific drug names associated with PGX, such as clopidogrel, to quickly navigate what can be lengthy documents. This approach works because many MCOs define their coverage and reimbursement by specific pharmacogenes and drugs. However, this method may not always be effective for more ambiguous MCO policies.
Thank you, Lexi. And this is certainly very helpful information for us. Now, what did you find in Medicaid coverage of PGX?
Yeah, so as we mentioned before, each state has their own Medicaid program, which allows for coverage of PGX to vary from state to state. Additionally, the variations can continue based on the different MCOs within that state. So some MCOs are very limited and specific in their coverage. Some MCOs provide rather ambiguous statements about their coverage, and some still classify PGX as investigational and therefore provide no coverage. Unfortunately, over the past month of working with you, I did not have the time to investigate the specific details and variations of MCOs in all 50 states, but I did focus primarily on Pennsylvania and Ohio.
So, Lexi, you dove into the different MCOs in Pennsylvania and Ohio during your research. What are the different MCOs in Pennsylvania, and how do their coverage policies differ within Pennsylvania?
Yeah, so the MCOs in Pennsylvania include AmeriHealth, Keystone, Geisinger, United Healthcare, UPMC, Health Partners, and Highmark Healthcare. They all have different coverage policies, so I'll go ahead and provide some details on a few of them to give you an idea of how those policies can vary. So I found that AmeriHealth, Keystone, and Highmark Healthcare all had the exact same coverage policy in relation to PGX testing. They will cover a once-per-lifetime test of CYP450 polymorphisms for their members who have acute coronary syndrome and are undergoing percutaneous coronary intervention when clopidogrel is a treatment option. On the other hand, United Healthcare will cover PGX multi-gene panels, which includes five or more genes that are used to guide therapy decisions for antidepressants and antipsychotic medications only when all of the following criteria are met. One, the individual has a diagnosis of major depressive disorder or generalized anxiety disorder, and the individual has failed at least one prior medication to treat their condition, and the multi-gene panel has no more than 15 relevant genes. So in these examples, you can see how specific these eligibility requirements can be.
You're exactly right, Lexi. Those coverage policies are very specific. I mean, in particular, AmeriHealth, Keystone, and Highmark, with their mention that CYP2C19 may be tested for patients that have acute coronary syndrome who are undergoing percutaneous coronary intervention. So that's very specific about the patient that they think the test is medically necessary and the time to test that patient for that gene. You mentioned that there are some ambiguous policies as well, and I couldn't agree with you more. Mary and I have been doing this now for many, many years, and you're exactly right. There's still some ambiguous policies out there. Did you find that to be the case with any of the MCOs in Pennsylvania?
Oh, yes, I sure did. So an example of an ambiguous coverage policy came from Geisinger. They consider PGX testing to be medically necessary when the identification of a specific gene marker is noted to be clinically necessary before initiating therapy by the FDA, as noted in the indications section of the prescribing information, and or it is supported by the NCCN guidelines, which is the National Comprehensive Cancer Network. So this policy is vague and unclear because not all of the products included in the FDA information include specific actions to be taken based on biomarker information. A decent amount of it is just the FDA acknowledging that there may be an association. The indications section of the FDA's prescribing information is really the approved usage section on a package insert. Since PGX is still a new and evolving field, it has not come far enough yet for the FDA to state its approval on PGX testing for many medications. And lastly, as we mentioned, the NCCN guidelines don't really have anything to do with PGX testing. We know that genetics can play a large role in cancer development and treatment, but again, those guidelines are specific to cancer only.
So you mentioned that you were also focusing on policies in Ohio. What are the MCOs in Ohio and how much do their policies differ from Pennsylvania?
Yeah, so the MCOs in Ohio include AmeriHealth, CareSource, Anthem, United Healthcare, Buckeye Healthcare, Molina Healthcare, and Humana. I found that AmeriHealth and United Healthcare had the exact same policy in Ohio that they had in Pennsylvania. However, Anthem had another vague policy. They will cover one genotyping for the appropriate biomarker recognized by the FDA-approved therapies and associated biomarkers when all of the following conditions are met. So the medication for which genotyping is being done is the most appropriate treatment for the individual's underlying condition, and the PGX test has demonstrated analytical and clinical validity and clinical utility for the individual, including consideration of the frequency of relevant alleles in the individual subgroup. And the biomarker testing is focused on the specific genetic polymorphisms relevant to guiding treatment for the individual's condition. They then provide the FDA's table of associated biomarkers as a reference. I would like to point out how they mention that it must be the most appropriate treatment. They do not provide any context on how that is determined. And as we know, treatment guidelines can differ and providers will consider many things when deciding what is considered most appropriate. Things such as adherence, dosage form, adverse events, cost, etc.
Thank you, Lexi. Thank you for explaining that. And you also mentioned that earlier that some MCOs provide no coverage for PGX testing. Did you, for example, find any policies like that while researching MCOs in Pennsylvania and Ohio?
Yeah, I did find some policies that offered no coverage for PGX testing. And I also found a lot of instances where prior authorizations were thrown into the mix, which we know how that can complicate things even further. So for example, Anthem in Ohio recently released a statement that although they currently offer the coverage for everything that we just discussed, effective May 1st of 2024, prior authorization rules will apply to all pharmacogenomics testing. Now, right now, I was unable to find more specific information on this, but we can anticipate seeing some changes in their coverage policy within the next month. I also found that UPMC in Pennsylvania classifies pharmacogenomics as investigational and experimental, therefore making it not medically necessary and not something that they would cover.
Thank you for providing such an important information update for us. So now I guess the burning question, and everybody will be waiting for that, is what does it mean for the pharmacist and how can we become more involved?
Yeah, so now that we have an idea of Medicaid's coverage of pharmacogenomics, we can start to investigate the pharmacist's role and how that may also vary from state to state. So pharmacists are not recognized as providers in every state, and that alone can play an important role in what a pharmacist is able to do. In states that do recognize pharmacists as providers, there may still be differing special requirements to enroll as a provider within Medicaid. I chose to focus on Pennsylvania because pharmacists actually just gained provider status on March 1st of 2024. So now pharmacists in Pennsylvania are recognized as a mid-level practitioner who can provide and bill for Medicaid fee-for-services. Pharmacists cannot independently prescribe on their own, but they can prescribe under a collaborative practice agreement, which we can get into more detail on that later. But for now, pharmacists in Pennsylvania can bill for medication therapy management, or MTM for short. And this is where pharmacists would be able to order PGX testing under that collaborative practice agreement. They can also bill for immunization administration and alcohol or substance abuse screening and intervention. The other state I focused on was Ohio, and pharmacists in Ohio gained provider status in 2019, and they can bill for MTM services, which again includes the ordering tests for pharmacogenomics, immunization administration, and administering medications. Ohio pharmacists also cannot prescribe unless they're working under a collaborative practice agreement.
That's great, great information. And before we go into more detail on how this relates to pharmacogenomics, can you briefly explain what is a collaborative practice agreement?
Yeah, so a collaborative practice agreement, or CPA for short, allows pharmacists to provide patient care and drug therapy management services under an agreement between the pharmacist and a prescriber. This is relevant across the United States because now all 50 states recognize CPAs between pharmacists and prescribers. However, there may be some differences between each state. These differences could include requirements of continuing education, liability insurance, documentation of services, and a patient agreement to receive services as part of the CPA. While CPAs may vary from state to state, what a pharmacist can do typically includes initiating, modifying, or discontinuing medications, ordering and interpreting laboratory tests, patient assessments, patient education, monitoring patient outcomes, and documentation of patient encounters, treatment plans, and interventions.
So, Lexi, you've told us a lot about CPAs and what they empower pharmacists to do. So let's drill down into pharmacogenomics. Through collaborative practice agreements, how can pharmacists play important roles in the provision of clinical pharmacogenomics?
Yeah, so CPAs are a huge deal because not only does it allow room for pharmacists to step in as providers and utilize their clinical knowledge and abilities, but it also delegates the workload for the prescriber and creates more access to healthcare for patients. So in relation to pharmacogenomics, pharmacists under a CPA may assess a patient for their medical necessity of PGX testing. They can order a PGX test and manage the patient's medications using the test results. In brief, pharmacists are trained to identify medication therapy problems and correct those problems. If we view MTMs as the toolbox, then within it, we have tools like laboratory tests and biometric screening to aid in medication therapy management. Pharmacogenomics is one such laboratory test in that MTM toolbox that pharmacists can use. Overall, pharmacists' combination of medical expertise, drug knowledge, and the collaborative approach makes them well-suited to handle PGX services and contribute to personalized medicine initiatives.
So now that we have an idea of Medicaid's coverage of pharmacogenomics tests and what roles a pharmacist can play in the provision of PGX, let's examine how Medicaid's reimbursement of the pharmacist's time is compared to the actual time the pharmacist puts into the provision of PGX.
Yeah, so that is the overarching question here. Now that we know Medicaid coverage for the test can vary and CPAs are recognized across all 50 states, let's tie it all together and walk through an example case. So let's say we have a patient who has been diagnosed with major depressive disorder, and that patient has United Healthcare, which manages their Medicaid benefits. This patient has tried and failed escitalopram or Lexapro previously. For this example, let's say you are a pharmacist operating under a CPA in Pennsylvania. According to United Healthcare's coverage policy, this patient meets the medical necessity requirements for UHC to reimburse a multi-gene PGX panel. Since you are operating under a CPA as a pharmacist, you can order this multi-gene panel and bill for 15 minutes of their time with code 99605, which is approximately a $50 reimbursement. Additionally, you can discuss the results with the patient and create a new treatment plan in a follow-up 15-minute appointment where you could bill code 99606 for approximately a $40 reimbursement.
Thanks, Lexi, for giving us that example of reimbursement for the PGX test and reimbursement of the pharmacist's time in the provision of that PGX test. So just to recap for our audience, and because we're running out of time, Medicaid coverage of PGX tests varies depending on the state and the MCO. Some MCOs cover only specific drug gene pairs or health conditions. Others provide ambiguous coverage and others provide no coverage. And lastly, pharmacists can play many critical roles in PGX implementation and utilization. But current direct Medicaid reimbursement to the pharmacist for their time is limited and may not be financially sustainable to the individual pharmacist who's billing directly. Now, with that said, one goal for managed care organizations is to manage a patient's health such that the cost for the patient's care does not exceed the dollar amount they are paid to manage the patient. In this context, the pharmacist can indirectly pay their own salary in the money that they help the MCO save by reducing poor medication outcomes, such that the cost for the patient's care does not exceed the money Medicaid pays the MCO for the patient. An example of this scenario would be a pharmacist who orders a PGX test for an MCO patient and managing their medications such that the patient does not have to visit the emergency room due to an adverse drug reaction that may not have been known, or there may have been no warning signs for prior to the patient taking the medication without a PGX test. Essentially, the pharmacist can save the MCO the money that they would have to spend for that patient to go to the emergency room visit for that adverse drug event. And that costs a lot less than what it would cost the MCO to pay the pharmacist for their time in the provision of pharmacogenomic testing for that drug. So, as I mentioned earlier, just a few minutes back, we've run out of time. And so I just want to thank Mary and Lexi for joining us on this episode. And most of all, thank you, audience, for tuning in. We hope you've learned about MCO's PGX reimbursement and the pharmacist's role. We do a lot of PGXing here on the Precision Health and PGX podcasts, PGX science, clinical application, and business. And we hope you learned and you continue to learn from us in further episodes. We love to hear from you. What can we teach you? Drop us a message on LinkedIn and just let us know. Please also share the link to this podcast episode with everyone so they too will know to tune in and listen to the Precision Health and PGX podcast. And if you have time, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can visit us on pgxforrx.com to listen to all of our episodes.